Hello and good morning. Last Sunday, my talk was on Egypt and the big spectacular projects that are being created over there. Indeed, in some parts such as El Alamein, along the Mediterranean coast west of Alexandria, I understand that the developments there eclipse the skyline of Dubai. Some listeners may be aware of El Alamein, that pivotal stage in World War II when eventually General Montgomery managed to win a decisive battle against Rommel's great war machine of the time. That battle in 1948 turned the tide of the whole war, and some of my listeners may recall Churchill's famous speech afterwards in which he said, "Before El Alamein we did not win any battle. After El Alamein we did not lose any battle." However, since the war, while that place was visited regularly for its German as well as Allied war cemetery, it was rather left with little developments until recently. Egypt seems to be capable of such spectacular developments because it is rather stable and becoming reasonably prosperous. And of course, as a result, it can entertain the likes of Prince Charles and Camilla, as happened recently. But looking around Egypt, we see nothing but turmoil. In the West, Libya and Tunisia are going through upheavals, and the populations are unhappy with their rulers, who in turn are unsettled and unsure of their grip. To the south, Sudan is in fierce conflict between the rulers and the street. The people are groaning under the weight of poverty and high prices, as well as shortages that are rather severe. They refuse to accept a military junta rule, and the politicians are not wise or experienced enough to take proper control. Looking towards the southwest and the southeast of Egypt, there is a severe war going on in Yemen and another fierce battle in Ethiopia between the Tigrayans and the central government. And last but not least, we have the ongoing insurgency in Syria, as well as the collapse of the economy and society in what once a very flourishing Lebanon. I hope I have given you a quick and informative overview of the situation in that part of the world. Of course, other parts of the world have their own difficulties, whether in Latin America or Asia, but I shall not burden you with so much more. I just want to offer this overview because many of us have no interest in other parts of the world and may not look for access to information that does not immediately matter to them. But we all know what matters to us, indeed probably every one of us, and that is the new corona variant named Omicron or Omicron. Yes, that's all we needed, or rather, that's all the otherwise tranquil life needed. Of course, I say tranquil jokingly, because I have just shown how far from tranquil the world is. So, here in our own backyard, what with the refugees suffering and even dying as they struggle with the flimsy dinghies and harsh waters of the channel, we now have to go back to at least some of the restrictions we thought we had left behind about 6 months or so ago. This is rather cruel. And what is it with that virus that is defying all the predictions of the best scientists all over the world? How long will it be when the World Health Organization can come out with that statement that COVID-19 has been eliminated, or at least contained and put into the basket of so-called endemic status? How can the world cope with all this? I can even ask a more serious question. Why should the world have to cope with all these adverse winds of conflict, epidemic, and needless strife? Do we not have enough trouble with natural disasters? Whether they are floods or storms or tsunamis or any other of the challenges that nature throws at us? Personally, I have no answers, and I doubt whether anyone has. But it is a cry from the heart. I feel for those who are in the middle of situations where they are either fighting a severe battle of health or looking at their starving children with no hope for any help to hand. Of course, we can pray, and we can contribute money or time or expertise to help. But it sometimes feels that in this we are just pouring water into a holed back bucket. Fill it up one end and it just disappears the other end. The other day I attended a mass in a church, and the whole sermon was on the advent of Jesus, his second coming. We know the prophecies, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, and they all speak of world afflictions of one sort or another. They speak of brother rising against brother, son against father, and so on. Are we not seeing all these things around us now? Let us just think. Let us ask God to expedite that promised establishment of his kingdom on earth. But certainly, before that could happen, we humans must change. In the Quran, God says, "We shall not change anyone until they change from their innermost." Yes, we need to change before God will answer our prayers. The sooner we do that, the sooner we are all redeemed. We may still face nature and its wrath. We may still have disease and accident, but we should never again have man-made disasters that result from pointless conflicts and disrespect to the very nature that is the source of our life and livelihood. I pray, I wish, and I hope. Goodbye.